there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Think of the party that must be going on in heaven right now. We have a whole church full of sinners who have repented. I know because I heard you say it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. If you were distracted or just settling in at that time, we can do it again. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
With a smile on your face. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
With gratitude and joy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We don't do this right, this litany of praise and mercy, with our heads hung in shame. No, this is a statement of praise and thanksgiving for what Christ has done for us. We're also proclaiming what Christ desires for everyone. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Lord, have mercy, we have work to do. The familiar gospel story today is usually called the story of the prodigal son, but it may more properly be called the parable of the older son. The point of a parable usually comes at the end. At the end of this story, the older brother wants nothing to do with a message of reconciliation. He's not impressed with his father's extravagant mercy. No, he would rather nurse his resentment and righteous indignation. I think we can relate sometimes to the older son. You know, sometimes it feels so good to feel morally superior. I'm the good guy, doing all the good guy things, while that greedy bad guy gets rewarded. But I'm still the good guy. There's an awful lot of that going on these days. The gospel today is clear. Righteous indignation is not a virtue. But you wouldn't know it by reading the letters to the editor in the Catholic Virginian. There is so much condemnation of others and moral self-congratulations on all sides of the issue, from healthcare to immigration, to gun ownership, even liturgy and prayer. Lord, have mercy. In our country and around the world, we have protest and counter-protest, threats of violence, revenge, book burning, all energized by righteous indignation. One side or another may be correct on certain facts. The older brother was certainly correct that he had done nothing wrong but received no special treatment, while his screw-up brother gets a party. But he misses the point. It's not about rewards or punishment. It's about finding what was lost, bringing it home, and celebrating. Christ. Christ have mercy. We spend so much time pointing out the faults of others, defending our own goodness, complaining about injustice. We know all too well on this weekend of September 11th what happens when righteous indignation eventually leads one to see themselves as instruments of God's just punishment. I'm right, they're wrong, they got it coming. For us, there is no room for that kind of anger if we share, like the father in the gospel story today, if we share God's eagerness for the lost to come home. For the lost to come home so we can celebrate. Lord, have mercy. We Christians must tell the story of God's radical mercy. There will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We who are baptized not only celebrate with the angels, but we get to send out invitations to the party. But is our Christian witness inviting? If our actions and words sound more like blazing wrath than they do like a pleading invitation to celebrate, then maybe we need to re-examine our motives. We should be gentle witnesses to God's extravagant love. But in order to do that, first we need to accept it. St. Paul addresses Timothy as beloved. Do we know ourselves as beloved? The flip side of righteous indignation is shame. Both shame and righteous indignation. It can only come when we're obsessed with our own goodness or lack of, rather than on the goodness and love of God. If we hold on to shame towards ourselves or resentment towards others, when we say, Lord, have mercy, rather than a joyous proclamation, it's more like a pathetic plea that we halfway don't believe. Beloved, the Lord is mercy. Believe it. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is trustworthy. Through us sinners, Christ Jesus displays all his patience as an example. So rejoice with me. This man Jesus welcomes us sinners and shares a meal with us. Beloved, rejoice with me now as the Father prepares the fat calf, the Paschal Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, is both the way home to God and the feast when we get there. The feast is here at this table. Now we must celebrate and rejoice because we were dead and have come to life again. We were lost and have been found. Amen.
Amen.